So we're getting some feedback on the forums, Daz. People have been talking about us. They like the music.
do they like your music, Alex?
Not so much.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say that your music is something of a treat for all of us. I simply can't believe how nonsensical and just absurd it is.
But I try.
Is it going down well?
It's more that people can't really understand me.
Do you listen to it back at all?
I do.
Think about it while you're doing it?
I do. It takes me a very long time to do it because what I'm doing it with isn't very good. But it's so... the levels are all wrong. And even when I send you what I've done without the music, it doesn't seem to make any
sense. Yeah, I re-edited it. It didn't make any sense. Can I just say that I hereby insist from now on that you do it every single episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in J-culture and video games, let me introduce to you the number one gaijin, the man from Japan who can! Doofus! 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 He's a doofus! He's a doofus! It's doofus! Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Okay, welcome to Doofus Show number 12 for the start of May. I think that's the right month. First one this May. I'm Alex, over here in Osaka, Japan, and with me is...
Darren, I'm in London, in the UK, hence my accent.
Yes.
I'm a bit brummy.
Yeah, you don't sound at all like you're from London.
No.
If one of us does, then I would be slightly closer.
No one's from London. But yes, we're here
again.
I was
from London. I was born within the sound of the Bow Bells. I am technically Cockney, even though I sound like a middle-class Brummie.
You don't sound anything like you might have the nickname Fingers. Or
No, strangely enough, I do.
I'm going to call you Fingers for the whole podcast now.
Yeah.
So, what you got for his Fingers?
What you got, Fingers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling a bit tasty this week.
Yeah.
What have you got for us on the Doofus? I love video games.
Well, this week on the Doofus Show, we have got what have you been playing? Well, we are going to touch on some of the more recent, or actually current releases.
What have you been playing? I love that jingle.
Nothing particularly recent. Nothing recent at all, I tell you.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have news, stuff that's been happening in the last bit over 2 weeks because we're late this time.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So lovely. What's been happening?
And of course, features, which this week is going to be about podcasts and something we've been talking about for some weeks now. Some weeks.
Yeah.
And
I was going to talk about podcasts. Very prescient. Very prescient. Very self-referential. I like it. Yeah.
Because there are a plethora of podcasts out there at the moment.
A plethora, yeah. A
plethora of podcasts in the world. And some of them not so good because some of them has been springing up in light of current events, but we'll be talking about
tune himself around like they know what's going on.
Yeah.
They're walking around the town thinking, I'm the best podcast. That's what they're thinking, is it?
That's what they're thinking, and frankly, I've had enough.
Oh, no! Right, do you want to play Nintendogs?
Yeah, let's play Nintendogs. Come here, Fluffy. Fluffy.
What have you been playing? 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 What have you been playing?
Okay, so, Darren, what have you been playing?
Well, it's been a while now that I've been sort of lusting after a classic controller for my Wii.
Right.
And I finally have one.
Yay.
They're beautiful.
How expensive are they in the UK?
They are 15 Queen dollars.
That's not bad. That's not too
It's
bad.
Not bad. How much are they in Japan?
They're a little under 2,000 yen. So that would have been £10 way back, and now it would be... different because the pound is so weak. Probably about the same because the pound's so weak at the moment.
Hey, that's great. It's a good price. But yeah, they're beautiful things. I mean, in the big war of the controllers, I mean... Yeah. Well, your dog feels strongly about this.
Yes. My dog's a big fan of retro gaming.
Unless your dog wants to chip in with a fine controller. I was going to say the PlayStation 1's the best one, isn't it, I think?
Currently?
Yeah. I think this classic controller is damn fine.
Yes, for retro gaming, certainly. The PlayStation.
But it allowed me, it permitted me to thus buy things on the virtual console store that I wouldn't ordinarily have been able to buy.
Yes.
And predictably, I just immediately got overexcited. I blew all my remaining Wii points on Street Fighter 2 Turbo on the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
That... Now, like some sort of lazy idiot, I just play it all the time.
Which one? Sorry, because there was Super Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter 2 Turbo. I didn't think
it's Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting. So it was the introduction of, say, Guile's sort of circular kick thing. You could get two hits with that. And, you know, the sort of distancing of Ryu and Ken's dragon punches and all of that malarkey.
Yes. And you can
be the bosses. No, not Cammy. That was the new...
This didn't have Super at the start. This is what I was getting. It's Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. There's no Super. No, it's Street Fighter 2 Turbo, not Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because Super was when Cammy and DJ and everybody came in.
I never played that one, no, so I wouldn't have bought that. But, yeah, no, it's not Super.
Okay.
It's Turbo. It's Hyper, but it's not Super. So I've been playing that like an idiot, just vegetating in front of that, just gormlessly finishing it with different characters. Realizing that you don't forget, do you?
No, you really don't.
Don't forget.
that is the game equivalent of bike riding right there.
Yeah. Well, that's quite an embarrassing sort of... I feel a bit guilty about that one. I've got some Catholic guilt about that. But then I've been playing Yakuza 2 still really enjoying that. And still playing Nano Stray 2 on the DS. Shoot 'em up. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. I recommend it. But I've gone over these in previous weeks, so I'm just going to leave it at Street Fighter 2.
You haven't got any new iPhone games for us?
No, I've calmed down on the iPhone front, actually. I've given it a little bit of a rest.
I've
been a bit disillusioned by it, actually. I feel like I've reached the pinnacle of just sheer excitement of it all and just constant repeated battering, like a wife being battered, just disappointment. I'm starting to believe that he doesn't really love me. And I don't know, there's just nothing that keeps me coming back. I need to get some sort of real-time strategy game on it, don't I?
I will confess that the other week I was, he's going somewhere, I was taking my dog for a walk and as dogs I want to do it, pooped. And I went to pick
that's
up the
point
poop.
Of the walk.
Yes, it pooped. My iPhone fell out of my top pocket onto the ground as I bent down to pick it up, and I was kind of hoping I'd broken it.
Were you hoping that it just fell straight onto the floor, cracked, and then bounced into the poo, and then maybe your dog started nuzzling it in just to really make sure?
Yeah, I was kind of having that vibe because it's been irritating me this week.
As you walk grinning into your local hardware shop, is there? As they inform you that it does invalidate the warranty that it had dog pops in it.
Apple Care Protection Plan, this. I say, dropping it down onto the counter.
Yeah, there is some turd in the headset, so...
It's still warm, I think. Does that help? Or
they don't die, do they? I've dropped it a few times. Yeah, not a blemish.
Not even a little bit. I don't know what they're made out of, but I think they should make planes out of it.
Yes, like just shiny soap material. Yeah. So... people liked my iPhone song, didn't they?
They did. I'm going to put that up. I'm going to put that up somewhere on the site soon, like as a separate link.
Like a separate link, and we could put singles up. We could just do music projects now.
Yes, but not my ones, as we said at the start of the show. Maybe later when I get something better.
I did actually have a laughing fit walking through Highbury Park listening to our last podcast. I left it a couple of weeks and listened to it, and I was just stunned by your music so much. I laughed out loud. But anyway, yes, iPhone games are just constantly disappointing. If anyone can prove us wrong, then please do. But I've given up.
I am looking forward to being proved wrong. I mean, I but I have no wish for any system to fail at all. I want good games. I want as many good games as I can get and afford. But... there are very few games that have held my attention for more than like 5 minutes on the iPhone.
Did you get the robot one that I recommended?
I did. No clue how to control it. Or rather, I do have a clue how to control it. I am a little inaccurate there. However, I feel they don't give me enough options because I feel that although I can invert the horizontal twist, I can't invert I can invert the vertical twist. I can't invert the horizontal twist. And for some reason, I want to be able to if I'm forced to motion control, I want to also invert my horizontal axis.
Well, I couldn't have wished you a more detailed description of what your criticism of that game. Well done.
Yay! Yeah.
Very boring, but very thorough.
Well, that's what it is. there's no better way to explain it.
You know, I can't argue that is your honest reason for not playing it.
Yeah. I keep trying to show kids. But it's the game I show kids when they say, ooh.
Do you explain that to them about the inverting horizontal?
No, I turn it on and then proceed to not be able to control it.
Is this scary? Is it exciting? It's got robots in it, isn't it? I tell you why I don't like it. No. Come back. Come back. No.
You make me sound like a paedophile. It's my job to hang out with small children.
Paedophiles don't sound like high-pitched, high-pitched sort of 70s mock gay men.
I didn't think that's who you were impersonating. Sorry.
Oh, no. Michael Jackson gets a hard slog of it on this podcast. I'm going to leave him alone. As he requested, I'm just going to leave him alone.
Yes.
Okay. Stop dogging him around.
What have I been playing, Darren? I'll ask myself the question because we're getting way off topic. Well, I just finished off Killzone 2 on the PlayStation 3.
Is it a beautiful game?
It is pretty beautiful. It's got a few... Well, I had a few issues with it. Towards
How's
the
your
end,
voice then?
I don't know. I went to the gym earlier and I haven't drunk enough water since.
Oh, that's evil. Okay.
So I had a few kind of long pauses between loads, so the screen would kind of freeze up and I kind of vaguely panicked because one time that happened while playing it and the game just crashed out and froze up completely, and then another time a save corrupted during that process and I had to restart a level. So it was kind of fraught with... It adds another level of tension to the gameplay.
Is this bugginess or is this something else?
I think they poorly implemented gaps between loads. I can't remember the details on it, but something to do with the way they process the information is slightly different to things like the Unreal Engine, where the Unreal kind of streams stuff in dynamically, I think, be the term. Okay. My voice goes up when I am unsure of what I'm talking about.
Edit it together all those instances. Quite funny.
Going into a crescendo. Something about the way Killzone does it makes it far, means that the textures are always streamed in. There's none of the kind of pop-up you get on other system on the Unreal Engine, but...
Yes, it's just appear in the distance.
Yeah, but it can't render as quickly, so sometimes the pauses are in there. I played Killzone 2 online once. I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning to play with some guys on the Up, Up, Down, Down forums. And it was the first time I'd ever played it online, and they are in a clan, and a pretty damn good clan at that, and I just got my ass handed to me round after round. The most successful thing that happened was I blew myself up with a grenade when I was near somebody else taking them with me.
Wow, you must have looked like the real gaming celebrity there. Who is that confused drone just pushing himself up against the wall?
Oh, I had this other thing, right?
Alex, super.
I had this very strange experience where I had no idea what the map was like. So I was basically, I picked up this thing and I had to get it back to my base. I ran up a flight of stairs into a dead end and then kind of proceeded to circle around, unable to get back out of the room I was in.
Again, I visualize you on a mobility scooter.
Yeah, didn't do too well there. it was funny though, and I'm going to get a little better, but those guys are good. I'm not going to be getting up to that level anytime soon.
You're going to cut you up and eat you for breakfast.
Yeah, but the single player of Killzone 2, it's fun. It's what they call a functional story, which means it's not up to much. But it's got some good voice acting, I think, for some of the characters. And it kind of has this feel of a small battle in a greater war that perhaps makes it feel a little bit insignificant to somebody who's looking for something a bit more from the game. And I don't know if it kind of puts him... There's some stuff that happens that makes me think that it could be part of some great bigger story arc that we could find out in a later one, but I think I'm giving Guerrilla Games a bit too much credit, maybe.
I see. So it doesn't have that sense of you saving the world or some kind of great epic event, Halo style?
It ends on a kind of epic event, but it's nothing to do with you. It's all very kind of...
With me?
Well, with the character, with you as the protagonist.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, not with you. So it's different in that respect, and I think that might, and it ends on a bit of a downer, and I think that's why some people are coming away, as well as having a really bad kind of end kind of section to the level. It ends with these two pretty low points that I think have left a lot of people who've reviewed it on a kind of a low note for the single player game. But the rest of it's quite well put together and fun, so I don't know.
So you're enjoying your purchase of a PS3 then?
I am. Well, I kind of had this dilemma where when I bought the PS3, I mail ordered from England to make sure I had all the games in English, because some of them are bilingual, but not all of them. Right. And I just mail ordered a stack of the PlayStation 3 exclusives. And, you know, exclusives have a kind minimum, a base level of quality. So I'm kind of working my way through them. And there's been a couple of other things that have made me side with PS3 purchases over Xbox purchases. Not out of any dedication to one system or the other, but purely because my Xbox hard drive is nearly full. And I don't want to buy... I want to install some games to the hard drive so the loading's faster. But on the Xbox, I don't have enough space to install one at a time. So I side with the PlayStation 3 because it's got a far larger hard drive than my 20 gig Xbox one.
Can I ask a request?
Yes.
What have you been playing? Virtual On has come out on XBLA, hasn't it?
It has. And I tried the demo.
Well, did you?
Yes.
Oh, that excites me a lot. It's got the winning combination of robots and... it's a game, so I'm there. So, would you like it?
I do. I think you and me played this when you were here last. We were in that. We were in round one. We sat down and we thought we were going to play each other, and we ended up playing some Japanese guys and dying.
We died
really fast.
Now, what was going on? I think rockets hit me from the side a lot, and then I died, and then I just continued drinking my milkshake.
Yeah, that's the way it kind of goes in Japanese arcades. And it was, it functions well on the Xbox. I think the default controls are a little weird. I don't think they're the same as the twin stick ones, but you can set it up to mimic that. It would be It would be strangely one of the cases where I think the play. I mean, I prefer the Xbox controller on the whole, apart from the D-pad, but the asymmetric joystick configuration on the Xbox doesn't lend itself well to the traditional Virtual On controls.
Yeah, as in completely symmetrical dual stick.
Yes. So when you're ramming, when you do a jump, I don't know if you remember this, you jam the two sticks towards each other. And when they're not,
yes, I remember.
And when they're not aligned, it feels a little bit
you kind
weird.
Of, yes, you drift off to one side.
Yeah. So, but otherwise, very faithful reproduction and a lot of fun. Enjoyed the one player, the demo that they give you. Through that.
It's a very sexy looking game, basically.
Yeah, it's
maybe really, I'll just watch.
What's the word? Triangular.
Yes.
But in a
yes,
very,
it is.
In a very, very functional way, again.
Polygony.
Yes. Polygonal. Mm. Is polygonal a word, or is that something to do with parrots?
That's when you have more than one wife.
Ah, no, it's polygamy.
You have more than one robot wife.
That's polygonal.
But. Virtual On the go.
Yes. Have I been playing anything else, Darren? Do you remember?
It's the game.
I played...
No, you haven't, Al.
There was one other that I forgot to talk about last time, and I just want to give it a quick mention. It was Outrun on the PSN and Xbox Live.
Oh, you stinking genius. Fantastic.
Yes, I thought you'd appreciate that. Thought I'd bring it up.
This is Outrun, the arcade version.
Yes.
I love that game.
Yes, and I played that online against people, and it works really well. And it's Outrun. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was fun, wasn't it?
Yes, it was great. I don't want to go out and spend, £100 on a joystick, on a steering wheel for a game that cost me £8, but I am so tempted.
Do an Outrun steering wheel?
Not an Outrun one, just any steering wheel would function, though.
Generic heavy video game steering wheel.
Yeah, probably one that you have to like bolt onto a table to make it work.
Well, that could lead to a slippery slope, couldn't it, Al? Could. Because then the idea would be that you'd have to recreate the entire arcade driving experience, which we all know involves certain things. Well, you have, what is it? You have to get into the sort of like the bucket seats,
the small bucket seat.
Well, yeah, you can't move it, so you basically have to jam it up very close to the screen. So your knees are
up. Some can move a little bit, just not far enough back for me.
Well, regularly you find people have stuck chewing gum on it to the point where it can't move or it's rusted. Well,
they have also been designed for Japanese people, I think is one of the sticking points.
And then maybe sort of you have to wrap a bag around your leg Because I always had to do that when I used to play them.
I see, because you've been shopping.
Exactly. Authentic experience.
Yeah. It's not as romantic as we remember in our misty eyes, is it really?
It's awkward. Yeah, with a big crack down the middle of the screen or something.
Yeah, and putting a quid into the Street Fighter thing just for it to be swallowed and kind of kicking the machine and then having to go and find somebody in the box office at the cinema to tell them, and they couldn't care less because somehow it's not...
It sounded like you were going to say, and then I produced a knife and then... and I've only just recently...
I sprayed petrol under the kind of ticket slot, lit that.
Yeah, and I'll teach you not to have someone on duty who I can talk to about this.
Yes, exactly.
So that's what we've been playing. Yay. We've been playing The Fool.
We've been playing quite a bit. So that brings us to Darren.
News.
Broadcasting on Skype. Okay, everybody. Darren's Darren at 5. Come on, people, the state of the Japanese gaming scene.
Virtual console.
PlayStation 3.
And the Nintendo DS.
How the Xbox performed.
Nintendo Wii.
Buttocks.
Mom, I'm scared.
Do this.
It's been an interesting few weeks, really. We've gone a little bit longer than the normal 2 weeks. And basically, just after the last podcast, a lot of kind of interesting stuff happened, I thought.
Oh, right. Oh, really?
You're going to get irritated at me again because it's kind of more... it's not kind of fun, gamey stuff. It's more kind of political and artistic side of it.
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't ever think I'm unreasonable, but I will keep you in check. That's my job.
That's fair enough. Well, 6 Days in Fallujah was a game being made by Atomic Games, published originally by Konami. And basically Atomic Games were claiming they were going to make a faithful recreation of the recent, I don't know what you call it, an event in the recent Iraq war.
Okay.
With insurgents and Americans fighting, obviously.
What is this, some sort of brilliant strategy game or like a role-playing game to sort of put across the emotion?
First-person shooter.
First-person shooter!
Yay!
Gotta kill them all.
Atomic Games had said that they had interviewed both US Marines and civilians and insurgents in the area. So pretty much every side involved in it. And they were talking about how... it seemed like there would be some kind of emotional impact of some civilians, but for the most part there wouldn't be, because actually during the war most civilians had evacuated the city. It wouldn't even be fictional to have it looking a bit empty apart from combatants.
Yes.
That word right. But they announced this and everybody had this kind of uproar. Oh, how insensitive, how awful. And Konami released the Asahi Shinbun, which is one of the bigger national newspapers here, about 6 days after announcing they were going to release it and hearing the reaction. Yes. Konami said, no, we're not going to do that. It sounds like people don't like it. Which is
this could have been, well, actually, I suppose the old choice of first-person shooter says something that I didn't think that was the right choice if they're trying to do that.
Well, except it's a first-person game where you've got a gun in your hand. We don't know what would be included in that. Certainly the kind of concept that they'd shown, kind of initial build, looked a bit actiony, but we don't know if that was the way it was going to continue going. It's still got a lot of time in development. So,
well, I think the whole thing about the first person thing is that it's inevitably a competitive thing where you have to kill as many people as possible. And unless they were going to revolutionize that particular game genre, which is possible. I mean, to be first person is not necessarily a Grand Theft Auto style morals to the wind situation, but it didn't seem like the most intelligent choice for me to be an emotive game. But, you know, we don't know, do we? Because it was cancelled.
Well, it's not cancelled. It's just been dropped by Konami. I mean, this is the thing. Atomic Games are still looking to put it out. They need a publisher. It's just the question is who's going to have the balls to stand up and pick it up. And it's something it's begging the question from a lot of people. Like, art can be controversial. It deals with real world issues. If games are, to come back to this old chestnut.
Here we go.
If games are art, can't they?
They're not. The answer is they're not.
Well, they cost too much to make. I mean, there's no such thing as a low budget mass produced title these days. It just doesn't happen. And most art movies are fairly low budget, so I don't know where they were.
I'm really interested in it, I'm afraid I kind of feel like they've got the wrong end of the stick on it, but...
Atomic Games, I want to know more.
I want to know more. Everyone wants to know more.
Yeah.
It's captured everyone's attention. And maybe that's a good, you know, marketing ploy by them to find a publisher for it, to just kind of talk about this in a kind of open-ended way where people are encouraged to invite their own interpretation of what the game should be, which could influence their own, the way that they finish it. But it's interesting that Konami dropped it, because it does seem like something that wouldn't entirely sit out of place with things like Metal Gear or some things that do lean towards the more artistic side of gaming.
Yeah. Apart from Metal Gear, which is very much a thing of itself now, Konami are locked into a very safe sequel of gamey games. They've got their winning 11 franchise that kind of brings in the money, and then sometimes they release Castlevania, and they're releasing a new Contra for WiiWare. I don't know if you knew about that, Des.
I just left the building now to run around in the street. I love them. They're so hard. I love how hard they are.
Yes, and they're making Rebirth. But basically the point is that they are really just like not producing much original content now. It's a sequel kind of driven thing, and Kojima's the only person with any kind of freedom, artistic freedom within the company. So I can see why they were scared off by this, and I don't think they realized, maybe they really didn't realize what they were getting into, which is a scary thought in and of itself. I mean,
yeah, maybe that, or maybe they thought what we thought about it being a visionary game, and then they saw it and it was shit.
There is that possibility. But their statement did specifically say that due to a reaction in America, they have halted their kind of...
Fair enough. I understand.
...support of it. So it'll be interesting to see if somebody does pick it up. It would be interesting to see if somebody picked it up who was aware and was willing to give them the budget to really... and guidance, maybe. Like a company that really had the confidence in it and perhaps could guide Atomic Games a little bit. Somebody who was perhaps more sensitive than... So where it really wanted to get involved with the production. But,
Yeah. I feel like it's always going to be smaller publishers or independents who are going to lead the way with this kind of sort of more sensitive game genre. Maybe they'd be better placed than a smaller publisher.
Theme, I think, rather than genre. Real world war genres.
Emotional hardcore genre. Emo war genre. Hold on. Is Band of Brothers and... No, not Band of Brothers. Is there a game called Band of Brothers?
Well, this is the TV show. This is the other point. Yeah, you're thinking of... Oh, God.
Brothers in Arms?
Brothers in Arms. Well done.
Yes. And what's the obvious one? Call of Duty.
Well, Call of Duty is fictional campaigns for the most part, and the ones that aren't are World War II. And this is a very... This is the other thing. Everybody keeps saying it's too soon for a game about this. That's the big sticking point, because people are dealing with real world stuff. I mean, it happens. Like you say, Call of Duty is set in World War II. And that has regenerating health too. And there are no civilians. And
pickups that you just walk into to have.
But that's okay, because that's World War II, and not so many people who served in that are still alive. There aren't people still in hospitals because of it.
What about the Falklands? How about that? Can we do that?
I don't think anybody's made a game in the Falklands.
The Falklands War.
The most recent, I think there were a couple of Vietnam games. They were starting to move there. About 5 years ago, there were a couple of games being, but they were all PC. I don't think any of them made it into the console space, which is, again, if you produce things for PC, I think, again, you're given a bit more leeway just in the kind of space it's made in. So we'll see. Hopefully somebody will pick it up, just because I want to see how it goes. I have no interest in buying it, actually, but I just want to see what happens. It's a bit of a, probably not what anybody wants to hear involved in the project.
What about the Gulf War?
This is the Gulf War.
Oh, it is the Gulf War. That's not too soon. That's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking...
Not the first Gulf War.
The 90s one, that would be good.
Yeah. So we'll see on that one, I think. See where that goes.
open up a whole new world of tasteless first-person shooters, wouldn't it?
It would. Wouldn't that be
Erased
fun?
And all sorts.
So other news, moving on to more fun stuff.
Yeah?
Downloadable content. I just mentioned Konami doing Contra. Also, Pilot Wings and the original Super Nintendo Mario Kart looks like they might be making it onto the Virtual Console at long last.
Woo-hoo. Wow! Pilot Wings.
Pilot Wings is great. Big news, actually, in some respects, because it means they finally managed to emulate the DSP-1 chip.
No? Oh, yes, of course. Okay.
Because the reason they hadn't done it before, I suspect, is because, the reasons they stated was because they hadn't emulated that yet. But now they seem to have managed to do it, which is huge because, one, they can produce other games like this, but also it would suggest that maybe they are continuing to work on their software emulation. So maybe we'll see some Super FX games be released in the future.
Don't Car Racer.
And Star Fox. Yeah, there was three. There was another one called Vortex.
Yes, there were three, weren't there?
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting. A couple of core properties were there. No, no one's listening.
I like Star Race.
What about
I'm gonna have a t-shirt.
More downloadable content that more people are interested in? Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Ooh! Oh, I like those games.
Yeah, coming to... I just broke my bed.
Sheer excitement.
Xbox 360 and PSN are coming out supposedly early or mid-June. I've heard a couple of mixed reports on that.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
These are exciting. I'm excited about original Mario Kart.
Yes. I just wish they'd add online play. I think that would be huge.
Imagine us. We wouldn't podcast.
No, that would be it. It would just be Mario Kart from then on.
Yeah.
Waking up at 5 a.m. to play Mario Kart online, sitting in that pool of water, waiting for you to use your red shells so I can come out again.
I thought you were going to say sitting in a pool of your own season Wii.
No, I was talking about that Koopa Beach battle kart level.
Paddling pool and just say, sod it. Marlon Brando it up.
That is good news. It's very good news. I'm excited about all of those, and I don't pick up that much DLC, but downloadable games I'm very into, and those are three that I will be getting. Four I will be getting with Contra, actually. So
have we got any more news?
We do have some more news. It's not all games, and it is all games, but it's not all just downloadable games. It's not all downloadable games. Do you know the name Richard Garriott, or is that gonna?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. He made. The Ultima series. More recently, he was involved in Tabula Rasa.
Yes. He's enjoyed a resurgence of interest recently.
He has. Partly because he went into space, which always gets people interested in you. Guaranteed win there.
Salute NASA.
So, yeah, a bit odd, that chap. And he's suing NCSoft, his old employers, for... $27 million, I believe.
That's exactly how much. I love libel cases and just general suing, because the amount of compensation that people is always so specific. It's not $25 million. It's not $30 million. $27 million's enough for me to feel better. what does he want it for?
I'm hurting so much. It was something. But I think there are several levels, but one of the key factors is that he was basically. He's debating that they claim that he left voluntarily or of his own volition, whereas he claims he was pushed out, which changed his rights on his ability to exercise his share options. I don't really know what all of that means. I read that online. But basically it means that he would have had to sell them within 90 days as opposed to being able to choose any time until 2011 to sell them. In the current economic climate, selling them now would be bad, I think is basically where he's going with his argument.
Legalese,
indeed. So he has...
They were 27 million, not 30 million, not 25 million. Nope. 27's enough to make him feel better.
But he also went into space on the back of this deal. I mean, I don't know how much more... I'd be like, okay, I might be losing some money, but I doubt 27 million is the difference on what he's losing.
Not 30 million. 30 million's too much. 25 million's not enough. 27 million's enough to make him feel better.
Did you reckon?
I burnt my mouth on this McDonald's pie. I went 3 million. Not 5 million. That's too much. Not 1 million. That's not enough.
I wonder if that's rounded up for the like by the press. I wonder if it's more specific in the actual kind of writing.
Oh, I'd love it. The pence and
yeah, right down to the cent. 27,234,843.29
29 cents. That's enough. Not 30 cents. Not 28 cents. That's too little.
Got to be specific.
I tipped over and hit my shoulder.
It's got to be a round number because nobody. Not. It's got to be an odd number because nobody believes even numbers. Like nobody.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, it doesn't seem calculated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had to round it up from 28 to 29 cents because of that, obviously.
Not 28 cents, that's not enough.
No. So, yeah.
I'll stop doing that. Okay.
That's the fun Richard Garriott news. I just like it because the man went into space and that kind of drags my attention.
Stephen Hawking been into space? He was one of the people who was signed up to do that when it was possible.
I don't mean to make any kind of statement here, but I think you have to pass a physical still to get into space.
Yeah, I think maybe he meant the passenger ones. Maybe that's what I'm getting. That's
coming later. You could sign up with Virgin, but I'm sure he put in. I'm sure he was given a flight on.
Would you like to go into space? It would be good to do a podcast from space, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because we're not distracted. We're not distracted enough in our own houses.
Hey, you're the one with the dog that craps everywhere and eats stuff.
That's true. And eats its crap, not stuff. It's crap,
but not on your iPhone.
Yay!
So that's news for this week.
Yeah, unless you want to do Wii sales, no.
Wii sales.
Wii sales.
Oh no, I'm interested in the Roman Empire that is Nintendo. Let me know. Yeah.
Nintendo have made even more money this year than last year, basically, which is incredible when you think about it, because they made a lot of money last year.
They did.
They've also claimed that Wii Sports is the best-selling game ever, which I think is cheating. Really.
What was the second best?
I think it was Super Mario Brothers because it had so many iterations.
Oh well, I'm sure they know best.
Yeah. But I mean, you do wonder when it went out with one of the most the fastest selling systems ever, when it was bundled with that in every country bar Japan.
Yes,
that's
true.
How accurate this number actually is.
Are they including bundles into this? We've got to get to and figure.
I suspect they do. I mean, because if the Master System had been the best-selling system ever, do you think Alex Kidd in Miracle World 1 would have automatically, therefore, have been there?
I like to think of that alternate reality.
Yeah, could have happened somewhere.
Yeah.
All be different. None of this Mario stuff. This little man running around with a boxing glove that appears from his stomach to kill people.
Yeah. Hey, quickly.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about, because we were talking about charts there. A while ago, we did a podcast where I basically broke down and we were talking about potential party game names.
Yes.
Some of them, one of them was famously yours, which is Architect Errol Fitzroy's first person shooter Black Plague
Edition.
I can't remember Extreme Game.
Yeah.
And basically, we were satirizing very intelligently, I thought, the whole Professor Layton's magic village of, you know, questions and what have you. And then I realized that there's a new game by EA, there's a sequel coming out already, called, is it Henry Hatsworth? What's the rest of the name of this game?
I don't know the rest of the name. I know it's Henry Hatsworth.
Henry Hatsworth in the Puzzling Adventure.
Oh, yes.
Listen to our podcast. Hatsworth. No, I'm not going to start doing it again, but yeah.
It is... There is a reason for the name in this case. I mean, puzzling and adventure are, like we did with First Person Extreme, is a description of the game.
They've
it's
used
got
our
puzzles on the bottom and adventure on the top.
Yeah, and a ridiculous kind of faux Victorian name to start. Yeah.
A man who wears hats.
Yes, with a monocle.
Yeah.
Looking at him now, he's sort of showing me his cup of coffee.
It's descriptive game names again.
Basically,
absolutely, totally descriptive, apart from the extreme at the end.
If they re-release games, old games, and give them sort of this new descriptive titling.
Hmm. Like calling Left 4 Dead four people running away from zombies as opposed to being cleverer about it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Hasn't got the same punch, but... Well, yeah, exactly. 6 days in Fallujah is a first-person shooter of 6 days in Fallujah. And that rhymes. Yeah, that'd be good.
Psychologically crumbling American youth with improper army equipment and a lust for blood adventure.
Oh, I see where you go. I thought you were talking about the audience for the game. It's a bit darker.
Talking about the real world situation.
They got a bit darker,
but yes, sorry. That's news.
Yeah, it basically all came down to the end of the year being, it was the end of the financial year recently, so Nintendo reported their figures and Capcom said how well they'd been doing, and EA, Microsoft and THQ are all panicking, although EA made more profit than they have been recently, but that's because they made so many horrific cuts to their business model. So yeah, that's the year for them financially, and on to the next one, that's what I say.
John Madden talks about, although doesn't play, football that you play, Extreme. No, that doesn't work. I need to come up with more realistic game names. I'm going to work on them throughout the podcast.
Okay. I look forward
to it. But now, it's feature time.
Yay! Feature time. Unfortunately, the best part is the music at the start. Okay, this week's feature is podcasts.
Podcasts. We recently relinquished the title of the podcast and went for show. But
yes.
But, we mean iTunes-y things you can download where people talk about video games till it hurts.
Well, they talk about many things till it hurts. But yes, specifically today, we're going to be looking at video games podcasts. And this is something we kind of vaguely discussed doing about 4 weeks ago. And then last week
you brought it up. I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, and
these things need to be talked about.
Yeah, and then I got an iPhone. I said, sod it, I want to talk about my iPhone, which I now hate, but we talked about that already. and now, in the interim, a new site went up called Bitmob. Again, people from EGM putting that together, the old one up. And on their first episode, they do briefly discuss podcasts. So rather than getting the jump on people on this one, we are again playing catch-up. But it's good because it gives us some context.
Alex is angry that they got there first.
Well, I'm angry at myself more than anything for delaying it when I think it was such a good idea. I'm an idiot!
You talked about your iPhone.
Yes, talking about my poxy shit-covered iPhone. Or not actually shit-covered, but it could have been if I dropped it in the dog poop.
Metaphorically,
indeed. Basically, I'm going to briefly touch on some of the things they touched on, so you get up to speed on what they said. And one of the things that I think is very relevant is that there seems to be a very established format. And this is something that they harped on about.
Oh, yes.
Which is the four men in a room talking about news, what you've been playing, and some kind of bigger topic.
Sometimes I can almost smell the podcast, you know, just like a slightly disheveled flat, just some men around a kitchen table. I just sense that it's messy.
Yes, and some of them mention it, some of them don't, but you always get the feel. It's a small room, you can tell it's musty.
There are pants in there on display.
Probably so, yes.
Someone's just come on Skype.
And who?
Oh, you probably didn't hear that, never mind.
And the underpants variety, not the American outer pants variety. The
clarifier. Oh, yes, the underpants. Yes, the under-the-pants.
The under-the-pants variety, yeah. And that's something that is, it's very true of the medium at the moment. And again, on this show, the Bitmob podcast, they touch on how it's a shame that people aren't being more inventive with it. They aren't pushing that boundary. They're not stretching it. Obviously, on the show, just to prove the point that it can be something more, Robert Ashley was there. Is something we're going to talk about later, who's producing a fantastic podcast called A Life Well Wasted that I think everybody is pretty much in awe of across the video game podcasting space. Nobody's had a bad word to say about that. But yes, they basically harp on about how it's something that's overdone now. Anybody's doing it. Everybody can do it. The media is there and the outlet is there to put it out.
anybody can sit around and do it. That is the thing. I think a lot of people are just enjoying the fact that they can do it, and thus you do end up with things that are sort of forever going to be formulaic, just because they have that freedom, and you know, that's just the way that a lot of people find themselves doing it, is just to sort of duplicate the things that they really love. And they're not doing it. I think there are a lot of people not doing it to innovate. They're just doing it because they can.
Well, this was so one of the only other point they made that I think is really important to this, is that a lot of people don't have the group of friends that they can sit around and talk to about this. Now, in the industry, and a lot of the people who are on the podcasts have that kind of surrounding group, that kind of core set that they do talk about games with, that they play games with. And for a lot of people, that just doesn't exist. And the podcast is their outlet for that. And maybe they have people who come on occasionally, randomly. Something like the JPAG podcast, the Joystick Appreciation podcast, really is just a group of people who meet on Facebook, talk about games on Facebook, and then have put a podcast together each week with different members.
Sounds awful, doesn't it?
it's very well put together. They have a pretty good thing. But it comes down to who is a podcast for the most part.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think a lot of people, for a lot of people, gaming is a sort of semi-solitary experience anyway, and sort of potentially socially. So, I mean, for me, to hear people who not only play games a lot and are sort of, I was going to say mature, I was going to grown up enough to kind of talk about it in an erudite way. But also there's some kind of consoling fact that these people sort of live and work and breathe video games and work in the industry. And there's something for me growing up where video games were sort of just coming of age. It is amazing to think now that there is a huge industry for journalists to work in the video gaming industry. So I think that's quite an enjoyable thing to hear as a geek.
Yeah,
to be able to hear
but
that, that can work.
It's not just in journalistic types. I mean, it is open to everybody. And I mean, we subscribe primarily to the more journalistic ones, but not across the board. I subscribe to a couple of more fan-based ones that are I find very well put together. And
I find the fact that they just say things after they've been broadcast a couple of weeks earlier kind of boring.
Fair enough. Well, I suppose you don't listen to this either. But yeah.
That was a joke, Alex. That was a joke.
I know. I'm being self-referential.
Didn't get it.
Yeah, I kind of did. I'm tired. Either. Tired. Leave me alone. Really, where should the innovation lie? Should it be with the people who are more capable, or these people who are doing it out of passion, out of a passion for the topics they're talking about?
Well, I think as long as you can podcast, and that is now a permanent fixture of our lives, it's going to be like blogs. There's going to be a swathe of just tofu shit that is just sort of tastes of nothing, does nothing. And you're going to have, you know, it's going to be a case of sifting through it. But I think innovation will probably come from sort of the hardcore fans like Robert Ashley, for instance.
Who have access as well. It's a major feature, yes.
And I think it's kind of up to people like that to kind of see the niches where they can get the most enjoyment out of doing something for nothing, because we have to remember that sort of podcasting, even for the most sort of experienced industry members, is still not a profit-making business. So no one's making money out of this directly.
No.
So there has to be a lot of enjoyment intrinsic to it. So within that, I think most podcasts do have some intrinsic value because people are doing it out of passion.
Is the passion the only reason people are doing it? I mean, this comes down to why people podcast and who they podcast for again. I mean,
to take our podcast for an example.
For example.
I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here to support you because you would like to continue to do this. and also work as a video games journalist.
Well, I have, yes, I have two very simple reasons for doing it. One is I would like to get into the industry in a journalistic sense or some other writing about it sense. I suppose that would be journalistic in some form or other. But now that more and more of that is becoming this kind of very publicly aware, publicly active element, which will...
You've got to have a rep if you're going to get down with, you know, the San Fran geeks.
Indeed.
You've got to have a blog, you've got to have a Twitter, a Facebook, MeSpace, all of
yes,
that.
Yes. And it's a portfolio thing for me as much as anything. But equally, it is another way of getting my little site, my little doofus.net, out into the world. Because I'm sure for some people, the podcast may be the first way they find out about my site.
I mean, imagine that, all of those trumpets. That's the first thing that they hear about your site.
Yeah. Terrifying.
Yeah.
That's scary. And maybe they never go to my site because this is the first thing they hear and that would be sad.
Sorry, I did that.
Yeah, yeah. But then there is this other point of, for a lot of people, it isn't an advertising. It isn't to produce money. It is for nothing more than to talk to the people that their blog already talks to, I think.
Yes. You're talking about the community that forms when a blog starts.
The community radio, the hospital radio of podcasting.
Yeah, we are a bit like hospital radio. But we don't play any records.
No, just that iPhone jingle over and over again. Because
we're putting that up on the site, aren't we?
We are.
Brilliant. Yes, so, I mean, you've got a community that's formed. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
You're all lovely.
And so, you know, you have a dialogue with them. And also there will be people who listen who don't sort of choose to contribute, and that's fine.
But some of them have chosen to review us on iTunes, and for that I love them, whoever they are, whichever members.
Yes, anonymous five-star ratings.
Yes, that's five people. I know one of them was you. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Of course it was. But it's like a sexy lady just, you know, slipping you some hotel room keys, just anonymous. Nice. Yeah,
nice.
But yeah, so you know, some people don't choose to contribute, and I think that's generally the majority. I mean, I don't contribute to One Up or anything like that, but I'm an avid listener. So you know, you have an unspoken number of fans, Alex. You got fans, basically.
I think you have fans, Darren. I have a website. You have fans. It's the way it breaks down.
Hi, everybody. Do you think I should do signed photographs? Do you think people would be interested in that?
I think you should. I think definitely there should be a signed photo that goes with the Street Fighter 4 book that we're sending out later today.
Some sort of Fonzie pose.
Definitely.
Sort of, yeah.
I think that one of you put next to Gary Newman. Gary Oldman. Oh, always get those
Gary Oldman.
Confused.
Oh, yeah. I do. Yeah, I do look a bit like Gary Oldman in Batman Begins.
Yeah, would that be weird?
Batman
Begins, sorry. Yeah.
Christopher Begins. That's my joke that I can't think of a good start to.
Not like, is that Christopher Walken? No, it's dancing.
And I've got another one. Hold on. It's Jeremy Irons, Tom Waits. That's a complete joke.
It is. However, it's not at all what we're talking about, and I can't remember how we got here. Oh, because I have a website and you have fans. Yes, that there is that silent majority in every situation like this. There are people who just, believe it or not, just read blogs and don't ever write on them.
Imagine that.
Like maybe you sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I have a problem with the whole kind of like just writing LOL and you are a fucking loser type YouTube comments.
You could just not do that.
I don't tend to comment on things.
Yeah.
Are you encouraging me to comment on these forums?
No, I'm not. I mean, you know, I have my own particular favorite forum, which is actually just turned 1 year old, the Up Up Down Down forum. It's just turned 1 year old. So happy birthday and
happy
congratulations
birthday
to Blocky and Pyman for their work.
Well done.
Yes.
Fantastic work, boys. But anyway, yeah, so you're talking about the podcast being a vehicle for your writing.
It's
and a way to have a direct dialogue with people in a kind of casual way. Well, in a way that works differently to things like Listen Up or Retronauts, where they are the show. They aren't sort of directing you to content elsewhere.
Yes.
They exist to exist. And therefore, they have the different production values, different planning values. And so they are a different beast. I mean, there are so many different types of podcasts that are just people sat in a room. And then there are the very scripted ones. And then Robert Ashley at the other end, which is kind of like extremely well-researched, well-produced sort of documentary, if you like.
I think it's the production that really shows there. I mean, that's what people, I think, are reacting to most. I think if they were unedited and without that kind of beautiful string that he manages to achieve by chopping and changing things around, that's...
Yes. Now, he is actually referencing WNYC's Radiolab, which has been going on for 2 or 3 years now. I mean, his format is exactly the same as theirs, and it's fantastic, and it suits video games perfectly because people do really respond to that great and complex sort of narrative production.
Yes.
So, you know, he's taken a format and applied it to video games, and it's worked fantastically. But I don't think people should hold that up so high that they don't think they can innovate similarly themselves.
That's very true. I mean, it's just that he is somebody who's putting in that time for nothing. And essentially, it's fairly... I mean, if you go to the website, it's a fairly... The website basically it consists of, or at least the last time I visited it has been a little while.
I was there the other day. It's just a blog, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems like the elements that then are like it's a month's work that goes onto the blog, and then that is put into that one fantastic podcast. When I've looked, and it does seem like very much the podcast is. Well, if you remember when we used to study art, we would put all together all of our scrapbooks. We'd do our research, then we'd do a kind of rough draft, maybe some of the interviews that aren't really part of art, but you see where I'm going with that. And then the final product is what goes up once a month or so on iTunes.
That wasn't actually how it works. We did our piece first.
How we were meant to do our sketchbooks. How we were meant to do our art, sorry.
Yeah,
more specific.
Yes, or you could just talk completely unscripted for sort of around an hour and then just do some crap songs, some of which make sense, and then bang it all together every 2 weeks.
Inaudible. You look at some, I mean, for me, I mean, there are times that I wish there was more reaction, and when I get reaction to articles on the site, that's great, because I feel that I can't consume personally large quantities of text on a website. I like physical media. I like to hold it. I like to read books. I like to read magazines.
Mm.
But short, punchier things online, I can get through. And without that more kind of physical media way of getting through things, I find the podcast a fantastic supplement and a way to discuss it.
Definitely. It adds sort of depth and color to the people that you are reading. You get to know them a little bit, and you get to know a little bit about their tics and preferences in a really easy to digest way, because you can, you know, it's quite a passive thing to listen to a podcast. I mean, you might be doing anything right now. You might be cooking. Showering.
I'm attached to my computer. Oh, I see what you mean.
I'm talking to the listeners. They might be showering or just bathing with candles, just listening to us talk.
Turn the music down, baby. Let's get physical. Sorry.
I think you should do more sexy work stuff. That was good. We could have a bit of the podcast. See, we're innovating now.
Yeah.
The first comedy stroke gaming stroke sexual podcast.
Now we're going to slide that Wii out of its protective cover.
All right.
Leave it. Talking of Easy to Digest, though, there does come a point at the 2.5 hour mark that perhaps...
Oh, where you're just screaming and just sort of carving off your own balls with a rusty bread knife.
That's the point.
Yes, I know that bit. Yeah.
Where you can achieve that point through several routes, more than several. Dozens of routes, I suspect. But it does come from a kind of lack of direction, often.
Yes.
An amount of alcohol frequently.
Yes.
Which I have been guilty of one or two times on this podcast, I'll confess.
Yeah, you're the junker, aren't you?
It's because usually we record when it's well past my kind of drinking start time on a Friday night. And frankly, I'm not prepared to wait. But we're not doing that recently. I'm trying to keep myself...
But you're referring to the podcast. But also you're referring to these podcasts, let's say Rebel Gamer, Rebel FM, sorry.
Yeah,
Rebel. Which is the one that kind of does go on for a very long time, but they have remarkable amounts of downloads. It kind of doesn't matter what they do.
It's the cult of celebrity very much with them. It's
they could just make a droning noise for like 2 hours, which
kind
is
of what it feels like to me most weeks.
A little bit like it,
And it's there's no kind of issue with them. I find some of the things they say good, and you know, some personalities rub the wrong way with some people.
Some of them are mumbly, some of them are boring. But
yeah. and that doesn't just go for Rebel FM. I mean, that goes for everywhere. And there's that kind of, like, it's the cult of personality and that kind of, even going back to the Listen Up, which is a podcast that, well, is the kind of next generation of a podcast we loved, which was 1 Up Yours. And this new iteration frequently goes on too long and also
gets
caustic in a way that's unpleasant to listen to when these are people that should be held up as luminaries within their field, really. They are some of the most hype.
Yeah, I get sort of physically angry about these professionals.
Yes.
Who, and I understand, you know, that they're having fun, but just this kind of like little snitty remarks towards particularly Garnet Lee.
Well, yeah, and especially because we do have a fondness. I gave the man a bottle of whiskey. I have a fondness.
I like Garnet Lee. He seems like a big sort of, I imagine him in a Mountie outfit, you know?
He would look, he's a big man. He's about similar size in almost every way to me that it was judgeable, which is, you
big
know,
guy.
It's 6'4", it's... like nearly 100 kilos of just bloke
Mountie.
Drinks of Mountie. Yeah, he would make a great Mountie.
Yeah, I'll kill anyone who touches him. If you just so much lay a hand on him, I'll take you. I'll take you down.
I'll take you down.
I'm tiny.
You are tiny, but you're feisty. You got that kind of
I'm like a little yappy dog. I'll grab a hold and not let go till I draw blood.
This is Garnet Lee.
Hi, Garnet. It's Darren from Doofus here. Do you like Doofus?
I kind of like it.
I thought so. Yeah. Listen, Garnet, I've got something to ask you, something I need to know. Why are they so rude to you, Garnet Lee? You're just trying to do a job, but they bicker endlessly. They piss take and snicker and whisper amongst themselves. They're bitter because you're in charge and they're the little elves. So why are they so cruel to you, Garnet Lee? It's that little David Ellis going, nee, 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 nee. It's not as if you ever say anything stupid, Garnet.
They unnecessarily pull the camera back to show his cock. It's fucking great.
But yes, I don't like listening to that. Those little moments on it. So,
and you know, but what? Then this again. I say we came up. We were talking about this 4 weeks ago, and then 2 weeks ago, we were discussing just after the podcast how this was going to be the next topic and how we were coming up with examples, and we were talking about this now. Oh my god, it's always 3 hours long, and oh my god, it's always that kind of snippy, the annoying kind of interactions they've got going on recently, but. The last 2 weeks have been a lot better. It's like they've been listening to some other community feedback, and the last one was much shorter. And the last one was much better just because it had Shane on it, who's been getting around a bit this last few weeks. Shane Bettenhausen, who is now Ignition Software's kind of buying rep.
Yeah, he's their angry hockey player.
He's back on, and he was very good this week. And then the week before was a lot more focused, a lot shorter, and without that kind of snippy back and forth that's become kind of synonymous with it recently. So maybe they're getting that format down. Maybe they're realizing, maybe they were playing their shticks, their parts, and they realized that perhaps it wasn't going down as well as they hoped. Mm. Who knows?
But we don't want to get too focused on that one in particular, but may I propose that we, you and me, are the antidote to all of these ills.
Because we love each other,
We do love each other. We do. And, you know, I'm here in London.
And I'm in Japan.
this is a pretty unique podcast. We've got so much sort of skill, rapport, power, and can I offer ourselves to the listeners like just a huge ball of putty or clay? I think I'd be putty, you'd be clay because of your complexion. I want people to mold us, and I want people to make this show theirs.
Yes.
You're cool with that? Right, okay.
I'm cool
and,
with that.
You know, I want to offer a kind of community-style thing where people can contribute and say, hey, guys, you know, I like it when you do the songs, but, you know, just I think the feature...
But only when Darren maybe does the songs.
You should do the feature at the start, or, you know, if you want to say that, or I don't know, what could be another comment they might say, Al?
Apart from my music, sucking balls.
I like your music.
I think Alex's music sucks.
I defend your music.
You like it because you don't know what I'm saying, because it's.
I like it because it's like just a mad. If you walked into an asylum and gave them pots and pans, told them to come up with a song in 20 minutes, makes you laugh.
Except it takes me 6 hours because of the software. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bang, bang, bang.
I can't wait to hear this week's.
Oh, yeah, I've got to do something. Why about that when I'm editing? yeah, so we do enjoy many podcasts. And like I say, I think people are taking it far too much as a kind of radio show on its own. I do view many podcasts as less of a show and more of a people speaking to the community they're involved in. Yeah. Darren falls quiet.
I was literally nodding with my cans on. I was just looking at myself in the mirror, just nodding with cans on and realizing what a cock I looked. But yes, I was agreeing with you.
it's a very specific, driven, reactive media for the most part to things that are going on around it specifically.
Although one thing must stop. And yeah. It's when people refer to the show as the pod and welcome people into the pod. That's got to stop. What the fuck is that about?
That must stop. People must also stop with the Left 4 Dead stories. I know. It's good. People like it.
But if I was talking about it yesterday, wasn't I?
Another 3 hour podcast with an hour and a half of it being fucking about? Oh my Left God, 4 Dead.
Was one of your friends killed? Yeah, if you just kind of come into it halfway through. Okay, you were chased down an alley and someone had a gun? Oh my God, there were zombies or something. What's happened?
Jumped on me.
They're talking about Left 4 Dead again.
Yeah, they're very much.
Left 4 Dead stories.
And I understand that it's good. I understand that Valve is doing a fantastic job. They innovate each, you know, they bring their content free and it changes the game around. And it's nice to know and how wonderful it is. But literally the last week I've listened to about 15 podcasts on gaming and the last 2 weeks, they have been telling me how, oh, man, we made it 6 minutes in the survival mode of Left 4 Dead. I don't care!
Don't tell me gaming anecdotes.
I don't want to hear how you played for 4 hours.
When people tell you about their dreams, that's the most boring thing in the whole world. And it's not much different to be told about other people's Left 4 Dead stories.
It's true. They talk how they played online for 4 hours with people they know, which is fucking unique because it's very rare I meet people online that I bloody know and how they have this experience that I will never have playing for 4 hours, 6 minute bursts.
Shut up! Shut up! Get out of the pod!
Not the pod!
Not the pod.
It's fucking room. Or maybe
a sweaty kitchen. Oh, we vented there.
We did a little, didn't we?
So to conclude, where do we go, Alex? We've got the Doofus format, which has just sort of formed organically.
Yes, which is currently organically forming out the retro gaming segment, the Darren's Old Games, because we never have time. But we'll bring that back with a vengeance next week. I don't think we're going to have time this week.
I'm going to do Turrican.
Turrican next week. There we go.
Yeah.
We are now locked in. We're doing it for sure. Turrican next week.
A robot that's also a ball. And, baby.
We are open to feedback. We want ideas, things we can innovate on, things people like, things people don't like. We will chop. We will change. We will edit for you.
If you want us to do an entire... I'm going to say this. If you want us to do an entirely musical podcast, that's your half an hour Like a big musical.
Yeah, a 30-minute musical extravaganza podcast about our Left 4 Dead experiences.
Exactly. Not 40 minutes, that's too much. Not 25 minutes, that's not nearly enough. Half an hour musical podcast.
That will mean, so people are aware, at least 15 minutes of my music.
Do you want us to do that? You want us to do that? Oh, Jesus Christ, 15 minutes. We'll do it. Or, I don't know, what else could we do? We could do some sort of conceptual sort of art style piece.
Yeah. We tried that, got the lowest downloads ever. Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, let's not ever do that again. So it's experimental. We're trying things. We're not trying. This is a kind of behind-the-scenes chat between us, isn't it, feature? This is what we talk like off broadcast.
And this is stuff that... But it's stuff that we would like people out there to get more involved with. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's about the end of that. I think we said most of the stuff we wanted to. And
huzzah!
Huzzah! Because we, talking of the community... We have something to give to the community.
Are you going
to
give it away now?
I'm going to give it away now.
I hate the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but that's another...
But I'm a karaoke whore, and that's one of the things that...
Yeah, you do it very well. Yes. But you are going to give away the Street Fighter 2!
The Street Fighter generic! All of them. Art book. I unwrapped it so people know when they get it, I unwrapped it. And the reason for unwrapping it is because recently I realized that if you send something looking new and wrapped and call it a present, sometimes you'll have to pay taxes. You're getting it through customs. So
have you made it dog-eared?
I haven't made it dog-eared.
Some soy sauce down the middle.
I let the dog eat a couple of pages, just a couple near the back.
Doofus dog, though.
Dog.
Come on,
so
let's get to it.
Yes.
Get a Street Fighter 2 work.
I've had time to mull them all, and certainly the entry from Blokey was very thorough and perhaps the most believable character. Fights was certainly had the... Fight Clubs definitely had the kind of era down, the right kind of thing for his country.
Who sent in the Penguinator?
The Penguinator was... I'm opening this. Yes, Matthew Lucas. Matthew Lucas, who I think is winning this, isn't he? For the most ridiculous.
I actually cried.
Inappropriate.
Yes. Are you going to read the Penguin one?
Yes. Character's name, the Penguinator. Character's whereabouts, Antarctica. Special moves, the Ice Cube Blast. You hammer down the square button, and the Penguinator fires ice cubes from the at the enemy from his toes. The wet slap. Press the circle and he slaps his wet flipper around the face of the foe. Jump. X and he slips. The belly jump. Slide. Hold R1. The Penguinator slides on his belly, tripping the foe. Peck. Press something and he pecks the enemy.
Oh, you know... All of them have got, like, so much work has gone into all of them, but that one doesn't make any sense. It's press something.
Yeah, he was a bit...
Penguinator. It's just... Oh, God. Press something. Oh, God. Yeah, you win, Matthew. Well done.
Well done, Matthew. First winner. This podcast is... You got to mail us your address, wherever you may be, so we can send this to you.
I'll send you a signed picture as well.
Yeah,
my God, man. Thank you for that. That was that set me up for the day.
Thank you to all. Did a great job. There was Marcus, Dan.
Marcus, hey!
Matthew, Dan! Darren, woo! And Carl. Woo! Thank you all. Yeah. Great entries. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doofusites.
So, 2 weeks, there'll be another podcast, another lovely podcast just for you.
Just for you. And maybe this should be the podcast where you decide in the Big Brother fashion what we do.
Anything you want us to talk about next time, we will.
So while you're in the habit of emailing us, all six of you, then why don't you let us know what you'd like us to do and sort of fashion it into your own podcast.
And there will be
Tarakan. If it sucks, it's your fault.
Yeah, next time it's your fault. And there will be Tarakan. We'll leave time for that for sure.
I love Tarakan. Can't wait. Love Tarakan.
Okay, thank you for listening to the Doofus podcast. The Doofus show. Ooh, crap. Thank you for listening to the Doofus show number 12. Oh, thank you for listening to the Doofus 12.
Keep going now.
Thank you for listening to the Doofus show number 12.
Transparency.
And we'll see you.
Nice to see you.
In around 2 weeks. Bye.